Welcome to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, a program provided by Living Stream Ministry and featuring the ministry of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over 7 decades on 5 continents, culminated his ministry with a 21-year, book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called a life study. And we're delighted to bring you short portions of this spoken ministry on today's broadcast. Now, let's join today's life study.
Once again, we have a life study from the book of Genesis. And today, joining us for fellowship regarding that life study is Ron Kangas. And Ron, I always enjoy your presence on this program. Thank you for coming.
The enjoyment is always mutual.
Ron, today we're going to look at Joseph. And I think that nearly every child that has gone to Sunday school has probably loved the story of Joseph. He seems to be such an attractive figure. But the real spiritual attribute or characteristic of his life symbolizes much more than just another hero of the Old Testament. Would you comment on this before we join our life study today?
In commenting, I would like to point out a basic matter. That is, we are seeking to carry out a life study of the book of Genesis. And in this study, we're concerned with understanding the connection between the revelation in the Bible and our progressive experience of Christ as life. The story of Joseph is wonderful. It's charming. It's inspiring. It's touching. In terms of life experience, Joseph signifies the reigning aspect of a matured life. The other matter related to the portion considered today is that Joseph, in one of his dreams, saw a sheaf full of life and the sun, moon, and stars. So with him you have life and light. He was a man who lived out the divine life and was always shining with the light of life. We need to consider Joseph's experience in this light in order to be motivated by the proper ministry to be full of life in every situation and to shine out brightly in the midst of today's darkness. This is what God wants, and this is what we need.
Thank you, Ron. Let's join Witness Lee with today's life study from Genesis.
When I was young, our mother, she would tell us the story of the Bible. When she came to Joseph, everybody of us loved Joseph. Oh, Joseph was so excellent, so marvelous. I didn't know what was the reason. Not only when I was a kid, I didn't know. Even I became a good preacher for years. I didn't know what was the reason that Joseph was dead excellent. But this morning, I do know. And this morning, I have the boldness to tell you what was the reason that Joseph was dead excellent. He was the reigning aspect of the matured life. Amen. He was the reigning aspect of the matured, not Jacob, but Israel. He was the queen of a matured life. Of course, that was a shadow. That was a type. But in actuality, in reality, in the fulfillment of the time, we know this reigning aspect is just Christ constituted into our being. We all are Jacob's. Hallelujah. And we all have a constitution of Christ in us. My, what a wonderful constitution. Since the day we got regenerated, Christ came into us. And this Christ eventually has become our constitution. Let me review a little bit so you could get a clear view. Chapter 37 begins with a little story. Jacob loved this dear son. And how Joseph reported all the evils of his brothers to his father. After this beginning word, the Bible here tells us Joseph got two dreams. These two dreams reveals the actual situation of God's people in the eyes of God. Regardless how you view the situation of God's people, in the eyes of God, God's people all are like what? Like sheep of life. We all know, what is a sheaf? A sheaf is a bundle of wheat, full of life and full of life supply. Brothers and sisters, I do believe from that day he saw this dream, he realized where God put him, what God wanted him to be. He realized, no doubt, God wanted him to be such a sheaf, rising up, not falling down. A sheaf full of life, standing up. Don't you believe, after he saw such a dream, he would have realized that in God's heart, God intended Joseph to be such a person. This directed his behavior. Not only one dream, but two dreams. The second dream is a dream of stars. And he was one of the 12 stars. I suppose you were there seeing such a dream and understanding that you are one of the stars worshipped by all the other stars. Wouldn't you esteem yourself so high? I am not a scorpion. I am a bright star shining in the heavens. You just tell me, if you have ever seen such a vision, would not this vision control you? If it would not control you for the whole life, at least for 3 days, you would be behaving yourself as a shining star. I was a dark scorpion, but from today, I shouldn't be like that. I must be bright and shining. If you can make it for the whole life, at least for 3 days. You think about it. So now, based upon this light, I fully realize why Joseph behaved that excellently. Marvelously. Why? Because he was directed by the vision he got of his dream.
Ron, we know that Joseph was a person that received many dreams and visions, and you alluded to these in your opening remarks. Witness Lee attributes much of his excellent behavior to the fact that he was controlled and guided by these dreams. Does God in his economy today still operate in the realm of dreams and visions? And if so, what kind of dreams, what kind of visions should control us?
According to the Bible, God sometimes uses such means in our experience. But I want to emphasize strongly that this is not the main point of the experience of Joseph. It's surely not the main point as we consider the matter of revelation and vision in the Scriptures. Yes, Joseph actually had the dreams, but the spiritual significance of these dreams indicate that Joseph was a man of spiritual vision, much like Daniel was, a man of insight, of vision, a man who received a revelation of God's purpose and of God's economy. What we need is what Paul prayed about in Ephesians 1, a spirit of wisdom and revelation to see the vision and revelation in the Scriptures concerning God's economy and God's eternal purpose. Proverbs 29:18 says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." This indicates that vision has the power to control and direct and govern us. Paul knew this when he told Agrippa, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." This implies a vision should be obeyed. If it can be obeyed, it must have a certain inherent authority given by God to direct us. So we need a vision, a revelation, not of something apart from the Scriptures, but of what is in the Scriptures already concerning the heart's desire of God, so that our actual and practical daily human and Christian living can be brought into line with this vision and contribute to its fulfillment.
Thank you, Ron. Very helpful fellowship. To me, it's really striking against the background of the immoral and indulgent world that we live in. There must be some useful keys in his example dealing with these temptations.
There are, and these keys are not a matter of self-improvement or self-esteem or trying harder. One key is related to life. In the midst of an ocean of anger, Joseph would emerge as one reigning in life. He could not control other people's feelings, but by the life within him, he could reign in that situation. But why did he reign in life, and why did he shine? We believe it's because, under the compelling influence of the visions, Joseph was always reminded what he was and who he was in the Lord. If in the midst of so many trying situations in this fallen and corrupt world, we would have a clear and strong consciousness. We are children of God, born of God. We have the divine life. And if we would realize in Christ we are living stars, we have the light of life shining within us. This realization will govern and control our behavior, so that in the midst of the world's rage and its lust and its perversion and darkness and death, we will reign in life by the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. This is not a matter of being a perfect person. This is a matter of being filled and saturated with the divine life.
Thank you, Ron. Let's rejoin Witness Lee for the conclusion of our life study.
Then, the second gross sin also afforded a chance to Joseph. Judah was altogether in darkness. If he was not in darkness, if he was in the blindness, how could he commit adultery with his daughter-in-law? Even that evil woman, the wife of Potiphar, I tell you, she was also under darkness. Joseph was there, right in the midst of darkness, a bright star there. How could I, a bright star, do such a dark thing? My dream controls me. My dream directs me. I will keep my position, and my position is a bright star shining. Now you can see, this man Joseph was living a kind of life that corresponded with his vision. He was not a dreamer. He was a practicer. He practiced and he lived what he saw in his dream. I tell you, brothers, as today's Josephs, we all must have some dreams. Let me tell you the truth. For years and years, many of my friends, Christian friends, they all consider me as a dreamer. They talk to me about the overcoming life. They talk to me about the practice of the church life. They told me, oh, brotherly, all these concepts are wonderful, brotherly. But don't you realize these are just dreams? None can live such a victorious life today on this earth. And there's no possibility at all today to have such a practice of the church life. Let's not dream. Let's wake up from the dream, brotherly. Let's wait for that day. They consider me as a dreamer. Like you see, years and years ago, I got some dreams. By the Lord's mercy, I would say, I lived according to my, what? Dreams. I lived, I behaved, I conducted myself according to the vision. They say, these are dreams. No possibility. But we say, these are not dreams. These are heavenly revelations of the facts. We are not dreaming here. We are practicing our vision. Do we not believe that the victorious life is very much possible? Do we not believe that the pride of the church is available?
Amen.
We are not dreaming. All the vision we received controls us.
Amen.
I tell you, we have a vision controlling us. When I was going to lose my temper, the vision came. The vision came. What vision? The vision of the sheep. The vision of the sheep.
Amen.
Are you the rising of sheep?
Amen.
I said, Lord, yes. And how about the temper? I said, Lord, it's gone already. Do you still have some anger to lose? I tell you, just a little bit talk from the Lord.
Right.
How about you? Are you a sheep? Are you a sheep?
Amen.
Check with yourself. Is it true or not? Do you believe there's no one that has some lust? If you don't have any lust, you are just a piece of stone. If you are a human being of the flesh, sure you have lust. How could we subdue our lust? By being controlled under the vision. Oh, we do have a vision controlling us, directing us. We are not people without any vision. We do have a vision. Marvelous. Let me tell you, Joseph's life was under the heavenly vision. If you would pay much attention to it, you could see this kind of life under the heavenly vision is just the life in the kingdom of heaven. Joseph's life corresponded with the constitution of the kingdom of the heavens in Matthew 5. In the constitution of the heavenly kingdom, I tell you, the main things are what? Are the subduing of our anger and the conquering of our lust. I tell you, if we cannot subdue our anger and we cannot conquer our lust. I tell you, we are true. Today, we the kingdom people in the kingdom life are being what? Trained to be king. To be the reigning aspect of the material life. To be Joseph. Eventually what? Listen, eventually, such a life all the time had the presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Let me tell you, wherever the presence of the Lord is, there is authority. When Joseph was put into prison, he wasn't a prisoner, he was a king. Wherever the constitution of Christ goes, with the presence of God, that part is the reigning part.
Amen.
We have to be assured in the coming kingdom, it will be this part that will be the co-kings with Christ in the kingdom of the heavens. Isn't this a wonderful life?
Amen.
I surely now love this chapter. How about you?
Ron, I have to say in answer to Witness Lee's question that I too love these chapters very much. Here was a man in Joseph who had to deal with anger and lust just as we do, and yet his victory had implications touching the kingdom of God. Would you speak about this point?
Remember, Joseph typifies the reigning aspect of the divine life in a matured saint, in a matured believer. When we use the word reigning, this obviously links us to the kingdom. The Gospel of Matthew is focused on Christ as the heavenly king in the kingdom of the heavens. And in chapters such as Matthew 5, he speaks of the living of the kingdom people. And he addresses very clearly the matters of anger and of lust. I believe every earnest, serious Christian realizes by our natural life, we cannot manage these two things. Instead of ruling them, they rule us. But the clear revelation of the New Testament and the wonderful picture of Joseph in the Old Testament show us that we have another life in us, a reigning and radiant life. If we would be one with the Lord and open to the Lord for Him to dispense this life into us, and if we would allow this life to grow in us unto maturity, we will discover that in relation to anger, this life rules. In relation to lust, this life shines and regulates us, reigning in life, signified by Joseph and revealed in the New Testament, is not a matter of our trying with our strong will to subdue the flesh. It's a matter of being filled with God as life and remembering what we are in Christ, that we have the life of God and the light of God. When we are in these two things, we are living a kingdom life, reigning in life, right here and right now. This is revealed in the Bible. It is the testimony of this ministry and of the life of the one who lived according to this ministry, and it is our testimony today. We as seekers after Christ can learn to experience Him as life in such a way that we reign in life, in all matters, and in all things, in the reality of the kingdom of God, for the glory of the triune God. This, at least in part, is the spiritual significance of Joseph's story in the book of Genesis.
Well, Ron, as we anticipated it would, this life study certainly far exceeded the old Sunday school story of Joseph, and I thank you for your participation today.
Thank you for joining us today, and for Ron Kangas, I'm Chris Wilde.